Thank you. James speaking some very strong words, isn't he, in writing? And behind all of that, of course, is his firm belief that the Lord Jesus brings grace upon grace. And in the other passage that is yet to be read, he says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And it is his grace, it's his kindness that continues to inspire us, amaze us, and transform us. So we meet today in the name of Christ, but we meet to share the grace of God, to know the grace of God, and to know that in his love, all of our sins are totally forgiven. It's interesting that that last verse finished with this phrase that you have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. Today I'm going to be talking about resistance, and a matter of resistance is something that we're called to do. We're called to resist the devil and he will flee from you. But interestingly, Jesus didn't resist when he was crucified. He didn't fight back at that point. He simply went about that part of his work, extremely important part of his work, in faith and in truth, and as we describe him as a lamb. And in that ministry, he has enabled us through forgiveness and so on to be people who resist the powers of evil, but who learn to be strong in a different way. And Paul tells it like this. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so what he's saying is that human strength can only accomplish so much. Youths, even, you know, strong youths feel weak, but the Lord is the one who lifts us up and strengthens us and gives us the power which we need to live in daily life. I'd like to lead us in a prayer as part of the message today. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we listen to the scriptures and as we open our hearts to you, that you would speak to us today, that we, in drawing near in faith, would know that it is you who are speaking and who are giving renewed strength to your people. Thank you for each other, and thank you that sometimes, perhaps often, we draw upon one another's faith and strength and prayers and find ourselves uplifted when we ourselves know just total weakness and frailty. So thank you for the prayers of your people and then for the strengthening of faith. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. My prime text today, I've mentioned, is James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's in the context of people recognising there's a lot of conflicts and disputes, and that the world isn't always living at peace, and stirring up underneath all that human beings do are the powers of evil always agitating us not to be at peace, not to trust God, and not to have hope for the future. So many people say those things that we hear, you know, I just don't know where this world is headed. I don't know what's happening. We've never seen this before. But many eras and ages have lived through turmoil and unrest, and in the midst of that unrest, profoundly have discovered there's a God of peace who draws near, and a God of peace who carries people through those rough times. So today, I'm going to speak really about our personal battles pretty much. And I don't probably preach on this topic a lot, because you can become overly, almost obsessed, but overly concerned about the battle, the hidden battle that you have. But it is there nevertheless, so it's good to be aware of that and engaged in that as well. there's a hidden battle, and to strengthen us for that battle, we are told that we should resist. There's a couple of people here I know, one who at least is very keen on doing weightlifting, and another who does quite a few push-ups. And if you're a person who does... Who does push-ups here, by the way? Quick show of hands. Okay, there's a few still people do some push-ups, all right. When you do a push-up, we could get, you know... Kevin could probably demonstrate 100 quick ones there if we needed, but one at least. Can you, Kevin? Just yeah. Well, because we'll get the idea then. Here he goes. Here he goes. Here he goes. That's one. That's one. Yeah. Now, this man does hundreds every day, and. He needs to do that because as a high school teacher, he has many, many people pressing against him and he needs to be tough. So one of the things that happens when you do resistance training is you get stronger. And you remember years ago there was that thing called planking? Did you ever do some planking? Oh, you should try some planking. We had a holiday around New Zealand and planked in the most wonderful places, and then you take a photo of your plank. Anyway, that's enough on that. It's that form of exercise which is holding a push-up, really, and just continuing to keep that pressure until you collapse or something like that. But the more you resist the falling to the ground... The more you push out and the more often you do that, the stronger you become in that instance, in your core. But it's part of what all athletes do in some measure is they strengthen their muscles by some form of resistance. Even if it's cycling and you're going up hills, then you're pushing against the opposition. Now, this is... a very important principle just to live your life as a Christian. We're told to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That is, come under the lordship of Jesus. Listen for his voice. Be guided by him. He's the one who is directing your paths and guiding you this way and that. But at the same time, there's another voice that continues to come. Jesus heard this voice and said, look, if you just worship me, we'll have some shortcuts here. We'll go straight to the kingdoms of the earth. You'll inherit them all. And Jesus pushed back and he said, no, you shall not tempt the Lord your God in any of the things that the evil powers were wanting him to do. And even finally, on the cross, the last thing came again. We're told the devil left until a more opportune moment. Well, the opportune moment came as they're on the cross, they're suffering. And if you're the Messiah, if you're really the Christ, come down off the cross and save us. Save yourself and save us. So that accusation, and Jesus resisted every last temptation, but he also resisted the various assaults that a human being has on our behalf. So our battle is in him who is the victor. We are in Jesus Christ. He is in us. And so that victory for the human race is assured already in his resurrection. But we're told that that battle continues. The writer of John in Revelation says that the evil one accuses the brethren day and night. So there are three ways that I can sort of sum up what's happening from evil powers. One is temptation to do this thing or to do that thing. And you learn it as a very early age. If in your family you were, if you were given a box of chocolates when you were a young person for your birthday, and the general pattern was that You know, when you get a box of chocolates, you share them with your brothers and sisters. But you look and think, well, they were given to me and I'm going to eat them all myself, right? That might just be a plain decision, but it might also be a temptation already, do you know, to kind of be a bit more self-serving and a bit less giving to others. So even as at a young age, we have that temptation to be selfish, and then I can remember, you know, some of the things when my mum and dad would go out, both had the meeting on the same night. My goodness, in our house, they might give us some chips and cordial and say, just have those, watch telly and then go to bed. But, well, that wasn't all that happened. You know, that action of temptation we learn pretty quick. And most days I still feel sorry for my mother. She had a very difficult job. And when I share some of the stories of my escapades with Lynn, she feels even sorrier for my mother. And so it goes. But we all battle with temptation, and that is a real thing. We also battle with accusation, because having done something, then you don't know what to do about the accusation that is coming to you, accusing you, the evil one. Ha-ha, now you've broken the law and now you are in mighty trouble. And you are accused continually, day of night, of things which often, you know, we've done. But then that's the way in which the evil one seeks to undo us, to accuse us and accuse us. And finally, is to threaten us. So there's temptation, accusing and threatening. And the threatening is to create in us enormous fears. If we do not do this, if we do not do that, and listening to this voice, then somehow our life will fall apart. It's a lie, but we do things out of fear. And so we have all of this coming. But the word of the gospel tells us that you are set free, and you're a free, totally, totally free person in Jesus Christ. For freedom, Christ has set us free. So therefore, don't, you know, become a slave to all these powers and so on. Again, work in living in freedom, and to do that, the primary technique is resistance training. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Peter puts it this way. It's very graphic. There's children's, I don't know what they do with this one. It's a bedtime nightmare, this one. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And you've seen a dog that's barking and very vicious and mad at you. But, you know, sometimes you can scare one of those dogs off by saying, get out of here. And, or just even stare at it and jump to, hopefully this technique works, by the way. Anyway, but to see that happen, and he goes chuffing off down the road, that's what we're talking about, is that you resist, and Martin Luther's, his word was, one little word shall fell the devil. In other words, be gone. Christ is my saviour, be gone, be gone. And he learned that action. It was more prevalent in their thinking, but in Luther's day, but he learned to speak that one little word, says be gone, off with you. And that's the training we need, is to continually live in that action of resistance. A friend of mine who has written a little book called Grace Upon Grace, John Kleinig, he's been a teacher in the Theological College in the Luther Seminary. A lovely book that he's written just on this matter of how it is that a Christian battles. And he's written, I've got 6 points here, they're his points that I thought were a really good summary. I'd like to share these with you. And his book is called Grace Upon Grace. And so the first thing that you need to know and understand is the Christian gospel says, Jesus Christ has saved you forever. He has died for your sins and for you. He's risen for you. He is your future and he is your hope and he loves you and he will never undo that. Can you hear that? So the Bible says there's no condemnation. You're not condemned. You appear before the judge. The result is no condemnation. You are justified. You are at peace. That is the new life you're to live. And in living that new life, John Kleinig says, in living in grace, it says, number one, we resist the devil through our faithful attendance at the divine service. So just to come to church can be a battle. Have you ever found that? Never. You have. Yes, you have. You have. Who's preaching? Oh, Trevor's on again. you do find it difficult sometimes, and we all do, but something about just getting changed, getting ready, coming and being among God's people. Sometimes you don't exactly know what's happened. You go home, but something's altered, something's different. The love of God's people somehow has perked you up a bit. And there'll be days when you go home going, oh, I didn't get anything out of that. Don't know why I went, really. But John Kleinig is saying that very going is strengthening your faith, that very attending, something hidden and profound is happening, and you are saying by your action, I worship the living God, and I want to be with his people and among them and hear his word. I'm not understanding all that's happening, but that's it. I'm going. Number one, just go to church is a good technique. It's a good way. Number two, we resist the evil foe in our daily devotions. I don't know whether you have a daily devotional book. Probably the use of them's dropped off a bit. You know, every day with Jesus, or you just have a verse that you're reading through. One of the dear ladies in our congregation in Ulverston in Tasmania, Peg, she learnt this from someone she went camping with. She was going to have her breakfast and someone with them said, oh, well, for me it's no Bible, no breakfast. So she thought, oh, that's a good idea. So she never has her breakfast without having opened her Bible. You can adopt your own technique, but it's just saying to have some measure and manner of actually opening God's word. And John Kleinig describes the process like you read a word, you're praying. He said it's like mint. When you rub a piece of mint, the aroma comes out. He said, as you ponder the scripture and just let that verse work into you, it's like the lifting aroma of a beautiful, you know, smell of mint or some herb. And he said that is your daily, it's a strengthening moment for your life. Then you go out and all your troubles are still there. Some have gone that you've prayed about as well. So we resist by our daily devotions as we listen to God's word and pray and receive the Spirit afresh, and we borrow strength from Christ. Number three, we resist the devil by trusting in the grace of God and living in it. So there's no condemnation for those who are justified by grace. So when Satan accuses us because of the evil things we've done and the good things that we've failed to do, we can agree with him. Yeah, you're right. And there's a couple more you forgot. Agree with him and his charge against us. But when he condemns us and threatens us with God's punishment, we can disagree with him and his judgment and say, yes, although we're guilty of sin and rebellion against God, we are pardoned and forgiven. So we can rightly contradict Satan's condemnation of us, saying, Christ has died for me and my sins. I'm baptized, I belong to Christ, I'm joined to him. He covers me with his righteousness and holiness. He assures me that God the Father is well pleased with me. You remember when we're baptized, we often have that little word that was spoken over Jesus at his baptism? This is my son and daughter with whom I am well pleased. This is what was spoken over Jesus. We're baptized into Christ. So the same word, that is the headline of your life. Do you believe that? You are a son and daughter with whom God is well pleased. That is a greater word than all the other words you can hear about yourself. But it's the truest word. Through faith in Christ, that is completely true. So, now we live without fear and condemnation and rejection. We can say, yeah, all that stuff's true, and a few other things, and yeah, I forgot to do this and that as well. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ puts me at peace. Number four, we resist Satan by staying under the authority of Christ and his word. You know, do as the New Testament guides you. Listen to what it says. Do that. And you'll stay under his authority. Number five, resist the evil one by praying the Lord's Prayer and using it as a pattern for our own praying. So he's saying, you know, if you're thinking, your kingdom come, your will be done, give us today what I need, my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who've trespassed and sinned against me. So you live in that and you continue to pray, your kingdom come. That actually strengthens you. And number six is we resist the devil by using the practice of intercessory prayer in the name of Jesus. So he is again saying that for you to move out from yourself towards others, it gives you, really, it helps your conscience. You're involved in a good way in being involved in what the Lord's doing. He's working in other people's lives. He wants you to strengthen this person and that. He wants you to pray for them for God's blessing to arise in their life. Have you ever noticed your quiet prayers for someone have actually been effective? It's a lovely thing, isn't it? Just to know that that has actually been part of what's taken place. You don't always see it. You press on by faith, but sometimes you notice it by sight. And let me conclude then by saying, as you live out your daily life amidst the powers of the unseen world and the difficult situations we have living with other people who are like us, they're sinners and don't measure up as well, may these six things I've mentioned here empower you, and please continue to offer prayer for one another. At the end of the service, Graham's our elder today, but if anyone would like extra prayer about something, just come and ask one of the leaders or elders, join with someone, you will find it makes a big difference in your life. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes temptations that have come to us actually leave and leave for good. That's happened for many people. Other times they linger on through much of life, and just a little bit of pushback and you'll find again your new renewed strength in Christ. May God add his blessing. Did you get what I was talking about today? There's enough nods. I'm happy with that. Yeah. Okay, shall we pray together? Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for the indwelling Holy Spirit. How wonderful, to have your own Spirit in our hearts, strengthening, renewing, loving, blessing and guarding us. Lord, help us to be in the battle of faith, to on others' behalf intercede and pray for them. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard our prayer. So someone on our heart right now, we know, needs your deep, deep help. Lord, hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.